reading to you from the 44th chapter of Ezekiel, and beginning with the 20th verse. They must not shave their heads or let their hair grow long, but they are to keep their hair of their heads trimmed. No priest is to drink wine when he enters the inner court. They must not marry widows or divorced women. They must marry only virgins of Israelite descent or widows of priests. They are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 46 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Now, friends, listen, I told you many times I did not want to be a preacher, but that wasn't my decision. When God calls a person for a job, man, woman, boy, girl, he expects you to do it. Just like when he told Moses to go down to Egypt and to lead his people to the promised land. Moses didn't feel qualified. And, boy, he had a little argument with the Lord. But the Lord won out, and I'm so glad he did. Well, listen, friends, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of hot tea or coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless America, bless our President and his staff and all of our servicemen and women and allies overseas and here in America. Lord, we're proud of those young people. I remember, Lord, many, many, many years ago when I, too, and all of us World War II guys, and the Korean guys, and the Vietnam guys, they fought for this country. Many of them were not appreciated, and it makes my heart sad. Lord, you know the financial, physical, spiritual need of all of our family, risk-listing family, and I pray, Lord, that you'll supply their needs. And Lord, you know that only about four or five people has responded to the Christmas baskets, and Lord, you know it's your ministry, it's your need, and these are hungry people. So, Lord, you speak to hearts. We're not here to condemn or put anyone down for, but I do pray, Lord, that someone will get the Spirit and say, I want to help feed a lot of people. Friends, we don't have Channel 4 and Channel 9 behind us. We just have our listening family. So I pray, Lord, that they would respond. Now, lift up Jesus on your word, hide me behind the cross. Say that son rode to hell tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, friends, one of the attributes of a true Christian is a person who has compassion, person who sympathizes with those who are less fortunate. By the way, I made a phone call to Alaska this past week, and Don, you remember the one we've been praying for a long time, who has brain cancer? And she was in the hospital, and she was in a coma. Well, I called up there this last week, and I talked to her son. And I said, how's your mama? He said, she's out of the coma, and she's feeling a lot better. Oh, my friends, do you realize that you who prayed for her had a part of that? That's right, because you sympathized with the lady. You felt sorry for her. You had compassion. And this is the one thing that we need to do. In Psalm 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's a sad connotation that you see a person that's homeless, and we see a lot of them down at the Denver Rescue Mission, men and women. I think the thing that hurts me the most is when I see a woman with two little kitties. And you know what they do, friends? You don't believe this? They have a couple blankets with them, and they go out in the weeds. They go under the bridges. They find an old refrigerator box that the refrigerator shipped in, and that's their home. Oh, friends, I've seen this for eon years when I was a director of the rescue mission, and that's why we took in everybody who had a need. We didn't look at their color. We didn't look at their clothes or their hair or their beard. We looked at their heart. Bill Adelong and I have said this many times. We see people, we read in the paper where this man beat this woman and molested her children and maybe raped her, and we just get indignant. We oh man, how could a guy do that? And then we go into prison. That same guy is sitting right there in the third row, and we preach love into him. And you know what? We see him in a different light than when we read the newspaper. What is the difference? Because we see them through the eyes of Christ. Christ was a compassionate person, tremendously compassionate. In John 11:35, it says, Jesus wept. And then John 11:36, then the Jews said, see how he loved them. Friends, we have a Savior that is concerned about you. We have a Savior that's concerned about me. No matter what your condition is tonight, God still loves you. And I have to quote John 3:16, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is a personal love letter penned to you and I tonight, that he honestly, truly loves you. You say, well, Cecil, look, we don't have anything in our house to eat to speak of. Hey, I've been there. I've been there with four or five little kitties. And what did I do? I got on my knees and I prayed and I asked God, believing, and he would take care of our needs. And he has always done that. Now, I'm not a namer and a claimer. I'm not one to get up here on this broadcast and beat my fist on the pulpit and say, God has to help you. Because the only thing, there's only one thing, mark this down, beloved, there's only one thing that God truly has to do. If you repent of your sins, have godly sorrow for your sins, and are willing to turn your back on your old way of life, he has to save you. That's his word. Don't go around holding your billfold up and say, God, I need a few bills in here. That is a joke. That's a laugh, and you know who did that. It's not true. God will take care of the needs of his people, but the secret is we have to be willing to share what we have. I read in Isaiah 58:7, it is not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Listen, that's part of the life that Almighty God has for you and I. To help the poor, to help the needy, to pray for those who have nothing. Again, you say, well, Cecil, I really honestly don't know whether we're going to lose our home or not. Beloved, listen to me. Listen carefully. Get on your knees tonight. Confess your faults, confess all your sins, turn your back on them, and then tell the Lord what you need. That's a secret. And I hear these people say, well, if you're poor, you have no faith. Well, if you're not healed, you have no faith. Beloved, did anyone have any more faith than the Apostle Paul? I don't think so. And here was a man that was suffering. He was suffering untold agony, and nobody actually knows what that was. As some say it was a liver trouble. Some say it was eye. I don't know what it was. But I know this, that he sought the Lord, with a whole heart, and he asked God to remove that thorn in his flesh. But did God do it? No. Was it because Paul had no faith? No. It was because there was a purpose, there was a reason that God didn't heal him. Because he showed him that in the weakness he becomes strong in the Lord. And he did not, I repeat, he did not heal Apostle Paul. Now, you think Paul didn't go through a lot? My stars in the morning, they were thrown in prison. And while he was in prison, they began to sing and rejoice in the Lord. And the Lord was so pleased that he had a great earthquake shake the doors of the prison off. All the doors were open. Did Paul and Silas run out and escape? No. They just sat there, and here come that jailer. He heard the rumble. He ran in there, and he thought that all of them had escaped, and he knew if he did that, he'd be killed. So he pulled out a sword and was going to commit harikiri like the Japanese did during World War II. Paul said, "Sir, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. Every one of us are here. Every last one of us here." And this man looked them right in the eye, and he saw a compassionate two men who he had personally beaten and put in there. Now they're crying out, "Don't harm yourself." And Paul said, and this guy said, "What, good sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Which is a universal, international cry today. What must I do to be saved? How do I get to heaven? Where's the door? Where's the road? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, how do we know that this man was sincere? Well, I'll tell you how we knew it. He went and got some stuff, and he cleaned up their wounds, dressed their wounds that he had inflicted on them when he'd beaten them. And he said, "Could you men come to my house?" Now, this is at midnight, beloved. This is at midnight. He took Paul and Silas over to his home where he had his wife and his children. And they sat down and proclaimed the gospel. And his family, all of his sons and daughters and wife, received Christ as Savior. And out there at midnight, Paul was baptizing them. Now, can you believe that? Now, was that baptism necessary for them to get to heaven? No. They were baptized because they had received Christ. In the act of obedience, "I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That shows the world that you are now a disciple of Christ. I wish there was more of that going on outside so the world could see it. It's a beautiful ordinance, and that's what it is, just an ordinance. Well, when I was a young Christian going to Bible college in Riverside, California, this woman called me on the phone, and she said, "Preacher, my husband is drunk. He's out here on the porch, and he wants to talk to somebody." I got up in the middle of the night. I drove to his house, and there he was, rolling back and forth on the floor. "Oh, preacher, pray for me. Preacher, pray." I said, "Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. You're the one that's in this condition, and God is the only one that can get you out of it. But he wants a repentant heart." As we talked, he said, "Preacher, would you do me one favor?" I said, "If I can, I will. Would you go over to my son's house in the morning, 8 o'clock, get them up? He, too, is an alcoholic. And he's got a wife and a little baby." Now, friends, I didn't know this guy from Adam off. I didn't know. At 8 o'clock in the morning, I was knocking on this little house, and I heard a guy say, "Come on in." I walked in there, and here was a man and a woman and a baby in this Davenport laid out into a bed. Beer cans, cigarette butts. The place was a total mess. And he said, "Who are you?" Well, I said, "My name is Cecil Moe." I said, "I talked to your daddy last night. Your daddy was drunk." "Oh, he's always drunk." I said, I'll tell you why I come by. He wanted me to come over and tell you and your wife about Jesus. Oh, he said, I'm not interested in Jesus. I said, well, I come to take you to church. He said, well, I'm not going to church. And his wife said, well, I am. She gets up and gets dressed. And when I got to church, sure enough, here was his wife and their baby standing by her mother-in-law, who was a Christian. And I sat beside this lady. During the invitation, I turned to her and I said, young lady, would you like to know Jesus? I said, that's your only hope. That is your only hope. And she says, I am a Christian. I said, I don't think so. I said, I talked to so many people about you, and they say you don't understand. Did you know what she did? She just turned and handed me her baby, and she walked down to the front, and she took the preacher by the hand, and right then and there, he led her to Christ. Now, listen. After the service was over, I walked out, my wife and I and kids walked out to our car, and here this kid was in his pickup to pick up his wife and baby. So I walked toward the pickup, and I said, oh, my star son, I wish you'd have been at the service this morning. He said, why? I said, because your wife accepted Christ, and the blood just drained from his face. And I said, you know something else? She's going to be baptized in the lake out here this afternoon. I said, why wouldn't you come and watch her and watch the service? He said, I got to work. I said, what do you do for a living? He said, I cut up cars in a wrecking yard. I said, supposing one of those cars would fall on you, do you know where you'd go? Oh, yeah, I'd go to hell. I said, you seem to be much more intelligent than that. I said, I'll tell you what, son, you could be driving your pickup right down the road, and you could just pull off the side of the road and ask God to forgive you and save you. He said, let me tell you what. Would you come over to my mother's house after lunch? I would like to talk to you more. I said, okay. Well, I went home and I gobbled my lunch down and I ran back over to this guy's house, his mother's house. And there he was sitting in his easy chair and he was crying. And I went and took him by the hand. I said, son, what's the problem? He said, I did what you said to do, preacher. I said, what was that? He said, you said, if I really felt a real need for a Savior, I could pull my pickup off the side of the road and receive Christ. I said, that's what I told you. He said, you know where I was headed? I was going down to the bar to buy some beer. And God spoke to my heart. He said, I pulled my truck over and I bowed my head. And I said, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Friends, did you know that day out at the lake, the church, there was a whole raft of people, 150 or so out there at that lake, and we voted him in out there at the lake. And both of those kids went out in the water and the pastor baptized him. Oh, friends, what an experience. You see, why did I have compassion on him? Because I was in his condition one day. But no one seemed to care. And the six preachers I talked to sure didn't care. Because if they had, they'd have told them about Jesus, wouldn't they? Yeah, I'd think so. We read in Acts 20:35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, friends, how true that is. I didn't always believe that. No, I didn't. But after I received Christ, he put a love in my heart for alcoholics, for drug addicts, for lost people of all sorts. Tom Baird, the man that introduced me to Christ, never drank a drop of booze in his life. I never had seen a pastor with more compassion on people. Alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitute, you name it. He had that kind of compassion. He's the kind that Jesus was talking about. Tom was a giver. Did I tell you the time that he was down in Virginia? And they had a halfway house. It was a house for rejected kids in the ghettos, black and white. And at about 8 o'clock in the morning, here come this drunk guy down the street, and he knocked on the door, and he said, preacher, I don't have anything for my kiddies to eat. Of course, she said, well, you know, I know how I'd feel, too. So Tom said, yeah, I'll get some. He went and got some cans and some groceries and brought them out, and he noticed the guy was barefoot. He said, hey, man, you're barefooted. And he said, did you know what? It's snowing out there. Guy said, I know, but I don't have no shoes. Brother Tom Baird sat down, took off his shoes, and gave this alcoholic. That's the kind of people the Lord's looking for today. In Romans 15:1, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. You know, I've always said that the Bible teaches very plainly that 10% of all that we have belongs to the Lord, our tithe. And yet, did you know, dear friends, it's not just the tithe that's important. It's how do you spend the 90% that's left? That's how you tell where your heart is. That's the truth. I had something happen to me the other day. You know, I send dozens and dozens and dozens of tapes out across the country and out of the country. They're my broadcast tapes. And I think the cost is almost $1.50 or $1.60 for the tape, for the postage and the cover and all that. And this woman said at the post office, said, you know what? You pay for that out of your pocket. I said, yeah. She said, you know what? We can give you a little better rate. And I don't remember, but it seemed to me like it was 10 or 15 cents less to ship it the way they suggested. Well, now, that's not much, but every little bit helps. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, I told you that the Bill Adlong and Tex Freeman and Ken Jackson and I, we meet every Friday at the Black Eyed Pea over there on Broadway. The other day, one of the waitresses was kind of, Bill Adlong had his wife with him, had his sister with him, who's 90 years old. I had my wife with me, and Bill Adlong had his daughter-in-law. And this waitress come back, and I could see something was really wrong. She was really troubled. And I said, what's the matter, young lady? She said, I'm not well. Found out she has pernicious anemia, and she has to go in there, and the hospital is 7 for a serious operation. You know, it's very possible she can die with this disease. Well, anyway, right there, all of us at our table joined hands with her. And Brother Ken Jackson bowed his head. And we prayed for it right there in that restaurant. Friends, we have enjoyed going down there at that place because we've witnessed to men and women. We've led men and women to Christ. Some are in college today. What an opportunity. Where's that compassion come from? It comes from Almighty God. It tells us in Hebrews 13:3, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you were yourselves were suffering. And don't worry, we do suffer when we go to prison. We see those men and women that's got 100 years, 200 years, or whatever, facing them. And they're so unhappy. They have loved ones that come down. I tell you, the thing that tore me up the most, one time I was down there, and this woman is in prison, and her husband brought her 3 little children down there, and they were sitting on her lap and hugging her and kissing her. And one of these little girls said, Mama, when you coming home? It just broke my heart. She did the crime. She needs to do the time. I'm not a bleeding heart liberal. No, I believe if you do that, you need to pay the price to society. But here's something to remember in James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's why I love my oldest daughter so much. She has taken 2 little babies. She doesn't get a dime from the state. She gets a dime from nobody. She has to drive clear to the North End 3 times a week to take the baby to her real mother. and she doesn't get nothing for it. And I told her, I said, I'm going to help you as much as I can, because anybody would take another little baby, and oh, that baby loves her. I tell you, the other day, Thanksgiving, we come over at my house, and her little tummy was upset, so I was sitting in the easy chair, and I'd rubbing her little tummy and singing to her, and pretty soon she quit crying, and she went to sleep. Friend, there's nothing more precious than a little baby, but her mom and dad are both terrible, terrible drug addicts. And they probably will never get that child. This woman has given up 3 children because of drugs. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a crime? Well, friends, let me ask you this. This time of the year, now you're thinking about buying your granddaughters and your grandsons and your wife or your husband expensive gifts, and you're thinking, well, now right here in my neighborhood, I know that these people are spending $300, $400, and $500 decorating their house with stuff and wouldn't give a dime to a dying dog. See, that's what Jesus is talking about. I want you to think about the holiday. Listen, friends, and I mean this in the depths of my heart. Whether you give a dime or a nickel to our Christmas baskets doesn't mean a thing to me. But I do want you to give to somebody. Give to some poor and needy widow or widower or family, a pair of gloves, mittens or something, to some needy family. Oh, friends, that's the spirit of Christmas. God has always been giving, giving, giving. And we as Christians, we take, we take, we take. Well, why don't you try giving this time, this year, and see if it doesn't make a difference in your heart and how you feel toward the Lord. See, the Lord tells us these things because he wants you to be a happy Christian. He really does. Well, all I can say is God has a purpose. He has a purpose for our poverty. He has a purpose for our sickness. He has a purpose for our health. This year, why don't you say, Lord, I really have been a penny-pinching miser trying to keep everything for myself. You know, friends, a man can be a millionaire and he can lose it all in one day. I always said, I don't play the lottery, but if I did play the lottery and I would win, I would think, I know what I would do. I'd step on a banana peel and break my neck. God doesn't want Christians wasting their money on the lottery, no matter what you say. Cecil, if I could just win a lottery, I could help my family. But let God help you. He has a better plan, and it's not dishonest. If you're not a Christian tonight, would you like to know Jesus? Would you like to know that your sins are forgiven and under the blood? If you do, and the Spirit of God has tugged at your heart, bow your head right now and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Do pray about what I said today about your kindness to others. God bless.